Happy New Year. Yeah, what a better, I'm looking for such a better new year than we had last, a better year this year. Are you guys? You guys got to be hoping for the best. You guys got to believe that God's going to be doing something.
Believe it.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just come into your presence today and we ask that you speak into our hearts today, Lord. You know what we need to hear today, God. We came in here from a word for you today, from you today, Jesus. We open our hearts and our eyes, God. Open our ears, Lord, to be able to hear you, to be able to sense your spirit in this place, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You're welcome in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey, if you're here for the first time, welcome. You're our guest. And we're starting a new book in the Bible called the Book of Philippians. So if this is your first time here, it's okay because we're starting a new series today. We did an introduction last week, but we're really going to be getting in it today. The Book of Philippians. If you guys got your Bibles, head on over to the Book of Philippians. We're doing a series and we're titling it The Secret to Happiness, because when we go through all the book of Philippians, you're going to see that the key theme in the book of Philippians is joy. I had a guy talk to me this week. He knows as a pastor, this time of the year, as you guys can imagine, is crazy busy. Could you imagine? I mean, because it's like during Christmas for a pastor, once November hits, it's like on like Donkey Kong. You've got programs you're doing. We did CASA. That was amazing. Hey, let's give it up for CASA, by the way. Those guys are doing an amazing work. And it was such a blessing to be a part of that. We got to raise over $5,000 for them. And then we had an amazing Christmas Eve service. And then we had a movie night that we did that bombed because we didn't get it out in the community properly. Larry, the guy that drives the bus for the churches, said, man, I had a bus full of people. And he's like, I didn't know it was on that night. And I'm like, man, we're going to get you some information next time. So just so you know, we're starting to do movie nights here because this used to be a movie theater. But we had that. We had all this stuff going on. And this guy asked me, he goes, Jason, how did you do this year? And what he meant by that was, is I know things get crazy for you. And I just wanted to see how you held up through it all. And I told him, I said, man, it was about November 1st where I was driving back from Lincoln City. And I was getting, I don't know, impatient with Vicky or Henri. Do you guys ever get like that with your wives? Nobody? Let me ask your wives. So I was getting to this place where I was just starting to get nasty, and it was that trigger. Here we go. We're going into the holidays. I got all this stuff I got to worry about and deal with and all this stuff. And I said to the Lord, I had a conversation with him. And I said, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm done with all this stuff, and I'm done freaking out, and I'm done being impatient with all this. And I said, this year, Lord, what I want to do is I just want to enjoy you. I want to sit back and watch what you're going to do in this season and situation. And I told him, I said, once I made that promise to God, I'm just going to sit back and watch you do your thing, Lord. This was the best season that I've ever had in my entire life. Going through Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of this, I had the best time with my family. It was chill here. Everything was cool. God did amazing things, and I got to sit back and enjoy it. And when we go into Philippians chapter 1, this is a situation in the context Paul's in. He's in this gnarly situation where things could be really crazy because he's in jail. He's chained up. And if you were to ask Paul, hey, how are you doing? He'd be like, man, I'm doing great. Because what he knew is something that you got to get is sometimes you got to let go and let God. Sometimes you got to let go and let God and say, okay, whatever's going on in this season, whatever's happening in these circumstances, I may not be able to control everything. How many control freaks do we got in here? I know some of you. We got to get to that place where like, hey, I'll tell you what, God, I'm just going to have to hit the brakes on this and let you do your thing. And you know what that shows you? That when things are not okay, you're going to be okay. That's going to teach you, and that's going to teach me that when things are not okay, it's going to be okay. And so that's where Paul's at, and he's writing this letter to the group, this church in Philippians, kind of like a house group like ours, a small group of people, about 80. And he writes this letter to him while he's in prison. And it's called a prison epistle because epistle means letter. Now, Paul was like that type A personality. He was always busy doing stuff. And if God had not allowed this man to get jailed up, we wouldn't have had these letters. The prison epistles, they're called letters. So we got Ephesians that came out of this, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians, the book of Philippians. He's sending letters to them while he's in jail. You guys remember what letters are? And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder for us to tell people around us that we're thinking about them. I don't know, maybe you need to get a hold of somebody today. But do you remember how we used to reach out before the internet? I was talking to Samantha about it. We were on our way to the mall or something. And she goes, man, I can't imagine a time without any internet. And she compared it to the 15th century. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I would go that far, but yeah, you know, when we were riding our dinosaurs to school and everything, we had to write letters. You guys remember that? Write letters or right? Yeah, you were out there. You were out there sending smoke signals, right? I'm thinking of you. But now we got all this stuff. So this is what they did. He was writing letters to these people. He's saying, hey, I'm thinking about you guys. I love you guys. I miss you guys. It's been about 10 years since Paul started this church in Philippi. And he writes this letter. Let's start in verse 1. This is what he says to him. He says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus. You guys are going to have to forgive me. I got this sick thing, so I love you from afar, okay? So when we leave today, I bless you now. You don't want to get too close. Are you guys, you're probably glad I told you, right? And you're like, but Jason, you already shook my hand. There's sanitizer. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus, to the saints that are in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father to the Lord, from the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing this letter to a group of friends in Philippi, and it's to all the saints in Philippi. And so what's cool about this church is that when you guys look at all the churches in Europe, this is actually the very first church that was ever planted. Have you ever guys seen those big cathedrals in Europe all over the place? Well, what's kind of cool is it all got started right here in Philippi with a little house church like this with about 50 people that were there. And he's addressing this group, to this letter, to three groups: saints, bishops, and deacons. And so, just so we don't get confused on that, basically that all means the same thing. They all, bishops, deacons, pastors, elders, in a church have the same function. They all share the same responsibility. But there is one who is first among equals. So here at our church, I'm the first among equals. But there's our team, we're all equal. And we all have responsibilities, and we share in responsibilities, and we make decisions together. I'm not the guy making all of the decisions. Thank God for that. But when we get together like the Bible had things set up, and we pray about things, we talk about things, we vote on things. And he's saying, listen, I'm writing to you guys, the ones who are leading this church and who is overseeing the church. And he's talking to them about what's going on with them. And he says to them, grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. And normally, when they would start a letter back in the day, the way that they would start out would be, I wish you health, wealth, and prosperity. But see, Paul loves these people, and he's been around a long time. And he knows that you can have health, wealth, and prosperity and still be miserable. You can have everything you want and still have nothing that you need. So he's like, I'm not going in superficially, I'm going to go in spiritually. And I'm going to tell you guys, grace and peace to you guys from the Father. Because that's what he wants them to get. He wants them to know where real peace comes from. It comes from God. It comes from the Lord. He says, and we can't have peace unless we have grace. And unless we got grace, we're not going to have any peace. Now here's the problem with that. You're like, so what? I'll tell you what. That's important, because a lot of people are looking for peace in the wrong place. They're going to wrong stuff because they get stressed out, they get freaked out, they get overburdened, they're worrying, and they'll go to shopping, they'll go to sports, they'll go to hobbies, they'll go to internet, they'll go to work, and they'll work to do whatever they can do to try to get that hole of peace filled up. But I want to tell you, like Paul told you, if that's you, if you've got a tendency to do that, you got to get to the Prince of Peace. He's the one that gives us our peace. And you're like, Jason, Some of us, we go home and there's people there that got an explosive personality. 1 minute everything's cool, the next minute, bam, and you're like, what just happened? And you're like walking on eggshells. Some of us are stressed out about school. We're freaking out about school. And the longer you're married and you stay married, sometimes you guys end up fighting about anything. The stupidest stuff we can fight about. Have you ever noticed, don't raise your hand on this, but you know what I'm talking about. You guys, we can start fighting over the dumbest things and have zero peace in our home. Zero peace at our work. Zero peace at school. And we'll try to fill it up with all this other stuff in our life. And he's saying, hey, listen, grace and peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You got too much stuff going on to be filling it up with other things, trying to find what only Jesus can give you. He's like, hey, come to me. We don't want to spend this new year. We're starting a new year off right, right? And we're going to start it with going to the Prince of Peace for peace. So Paul reminds him, he's like, look, this is my friends, and I'm not going to tell them health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm going to tell them, hey, listen, go to God for peace. He reminds them. Because as Christians, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but sometimes I got to remember of what you do know. We got to remember these things. Oh yeah, there's Jesus. Always Jesus. And so he tells them grace and peace from God our Father. And then in verse 3, he says to them, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing that he, oh, and we love this verse, don't we? He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul's doing here? And it's kind of hard to get these things unless we really study it. But his attitude is of praise. It's a new word, I just made it up, but we're going to go with it. That's where he starts praying about them, and then he starts praising because of them. Have you guys ever started praying, and then you just start praying, and then, man, God starts opening up all kinds of stuff, and then you go from praying to praising, and you're like, God, thank you so much, and it just goes and goes and goes. That's what he's doing here. He's praising. And by the way, let me tell you guys something. We're talking about the secret to happiness. I'm going to give you a little hack for bitterness on how you can get better instead of bitter against somebody that's wronged you. Pray for them and remember what they have done for you. See, and that's a problem, and some people don't like that right there. And the reason why is because it hurts to pray for people that hurt. Am I right? It's hard. Try it. And we don't want to do it because we don't want to think about any good about them. If they've hurt you, if they've done things to you, the last thing that you ever want to do is pray for them. And you're like, why would I ever do that? Here's why, because it breaks bitterness. If you want to be better instead of bitter, this is what you guys need to do this year. And this is what I got to do. Trust me, I'm living with this stuff too. Every week when I'm getting into the Word of God, I'm just like, oh man, really? Pray for those that have hurt you and you got a problem with. And remember what they've done for you. And what that's going to do, little by little, that's going to break that cycle of bitterness. That's what Paul's doing. Now, these people didn't hurt Paul. We all wish we had people like the Philippians. They were only good to him. And we're going to see about it. But for those people that have hurt us, listen, the way that we get out of that power that they have on us is we pray for them and remember any good about them. Because still, the person who's got that job that they hate, someone still hired them for that job, right? The person that may have hurt your pride, may have been, or hurt your feelings, has helped your pride. If we're careful and we think about it, church, listen, there's always something about somebody that we've got issues with that we can glean from and that we can learn from, and we can say, okay, God, listen, and start praying for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying this is what God wants for you. He wants you to be free from any kind of bitterness and hatred and holding on to grudges. That's not to say that the people that we're praying for are going to get worked out. They might be creepy for the rest of their lives. You don't know. But if they don't change, guess who will? You will change. Last week we talked about God won't change our heart unless we change our mind. And as hard as changing our heart is, we can't do it. You remember we were talking about that. We can't change our heart, but God can change your heart. If you got bitterness or anxiety or hatred or whatever those things are, you can't fix that. God can. But if you can change your mind about it, He'll change your heart. And so Paul, he starts praying over these people. He's praising for them because he starts getting excited about them as he goes on. And the church in Philippi, the way that God got Paul in Philippi in the first place is pretty crazy. I want to show you guys a map here of... Can you guys see that? Asia and Europe. So what Paul wanted to do initially was he wanted to go over to Asia.
Oh, no.
We're good. We're okay. Paul wanted to go over to Asia. Now, you guys see where Asia is, right? And I've got that up there for those of us that are geographically challenged. You know, you see a map and you don't know why Alaska and Hawaii are next to each other. I got that for you. I won't mention any names, but I know people. But the way that Paul got over to Philippi, keep that up there for a minute, is he wanted to actually go over to Asia, and God was like shutting everything down and sending him to Europe. Now, the way that it happened was Paul was like, every time I go to Asia, every time I'm trying to go in this direction, every time I'm moving in this way, God shuts it down. And it was at that place where he was probably wondering what's going on. Why is God shutting this down? How come I'm not moving forward? That he received a vision about a guy in the opposite direction in Macedonia saying, hey, please come over here and help us. And it was at that moment where Paul was like, okay, I see what's going on now. God wanted me to go to Europe and I was wanting to go to Asia in the total opposite directions. Have you guys ever had a plan in your life, a destination, something you wanted to do, and God just shut that thing down? Not once, but over and over, twice, three times, four times. And you're like, God, I don't get it. I'm trying to get to Asia, and you're shutting everything down that I do. Now, why did God do that to Paul? Well, the same reason why he does it to you. Check out what Psalm says. Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a good man are ordained by the Lord. The steps of a good man. So basically, the reason why that happens to you, and the reason why that happens to me, is that not only does God ordain your steps, but He's also going to ordain your stops. He's going to shut stuff down. Because He wants to get you where He needs to get you. And the first thing that we do is say, why? Why? We try to reason with God. It was like this little girl. She went to school, and while she was at school, her dog died at home. And so her mom's like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do about telling this girl about this dog because they love this dog. So the girl comes home, and her mom sits her down. She says, honey, I don't know how to tell you this. Come on in here, get some milk and cookies. And she's like, yeah, this is good. You know, the kid's into it, and she's getting fed some dessert. And she goes, now I got to tell you something. Fido died while you were at school, and God took him home. And the little girl looked at her mom and she said, what's God want a dead dog for? I don't get it. And when I heard that, I started laughing because I was thinking about, I always ask God that question. What'd you do that for? Or how come you're not doing this? Or why am I still stuck? Or how come am I not going forward? And it's like that little girl. We try to reason with God. But I want to tell you guys something. Instead of reasoning and instead of questioning God and reasoning with Him, you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to start trusting Him. He wants us to start trusting Him because He knows things we don't know. He sees things we don't see. Even the prayers that are good that you pray for and don't get answered. That's the hard one because it's not like you're praying for hair. And I've done it. I'll tell you what. You know what? Speaking of that, Todd comes in and he shaves his head bald. And I asked him when we were out there, I said, man, do you got hair or do you do that on purpose? He goes, I do it on purpose. I wanted to punch him in the name of Jesus right there. I was like, you got hair? So let me get this straight, man. You got hair and you roll around with that thing like that? I'll smack that. But when we're praying, we can pray for stupid stuff. That's for real. That's not stupid. But let's just say like there's other things. And I'm talking about when we're praying for things, saying, God, this is good. God, I believe this is your will. That's what he was praying for. God, this is your will that I go to Asia, that I preach the gospel, that I connect people to you, Jesus. It's got to be good. But listen to this. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. And so we've got to be in tune to the Spirit and what God's saying for us and leading us. How many of you guys want to be led by God's Spirit this year? That should be every one of you. I'm done leading me. And so should you, because God's ways are better than our ways. And if we listen, we'll get this. The reason why he ended up in Macedonia was because God was redirecting his life, and that's what God does to us. He redirects our life. And so Paul, he gets to Philippi, and it was a lot of doors that got closed, but I'm always remembered, when one door closes, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, you better believe it. God's going to open something else up for you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to lead you. So just because you've got a no doesn't mean it's over. It means God's just redirecting us. And so he goes and he ends up in Philippi in Macedonia. And so he plants this church there. And he says, I'm making requests of you all. Paul prayed for the Philippians. And as he did, he did it with joy, making requests for them. Even though they had a lot of love, what did Paul say? I pray that your love abounds more and more and more. He just kept saying it. I just pray that the love abounds more and more. And I started reading about it, and I thought, you know what? They already know that, Paul. Do you ever read the Bible and just kind of argue with them a little bit? You're wrong, by the way. But do you ever argue with it? I was like, man, they already know about that, Paul. But he's like, I'm praying, not that you don't know about love, but that your love abounds and it grows. And you know what that told me? That no matter how much you love somebody, there's always some more love to be had for them. You don't love everybody as much as you can love somebody. Did you know that? The person you came in here with, to your left or to your right, or the person who's at home that was too stubborn to get their butt out of bed to get here, you can always love them more than what you're loving them now. It can grow. And I was thinking about one of the ways that we can do that, when he's like, I want the love to abound with you guys, I'm praying for this, is when it comes to the people around you, remember their successes and not their sin. It's really easy to hold on to hurt. It's easy to look at people and say, hey, listen, this is where you messed up, and you're the one to let them know about it. But the way love is going to grow and the way love is going to increase is when you remember people's successes instead of their sin. You know what? And just, I want to talk to the married couple in here, and the singles always feel like they're singled out. Hold on a second. But for us that are married, I want to tell you guys something. Fellas, man, your goal from here on out today, hearing this word, should be, God, how can I be a better man? How can I love my kids more? How can I love and appreciate my wife more? You know she puts up a lot with you, don't you? If she won't tell you, I will tell you. I always ask that question, what if I was married to me? Oh, man, God. And then I'm like so thankful for Vicky. And you know what, wives? That's your man. And there's been a lot of sacrifices your man has made for you. And he will continue to make them. And there's a huge responsibility and weight on his shoulders all the time for his family. And we got to remember that. We got to remember those sacrifices, all those long hours of work, all the ones making the decisions. And hey, listen, I'm taking our family in this direction. I need you to trust me. And that's a hard thing to do, to trust your husband, especially if he's blown it a few times. But you know what? If your man is a man of God, you can listen to him and he can lead you. This isn't a male chauvinist thing. I believe every woman wants a man at home who loves the Lord, who is strong in their walk with Christ, and they know that they can hear good counsel from him. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a blessing. And so we can do that. We need to remember success is more than sin. With kids, you know what? They see us blow it as parents. They see us blow it. But there's been a lot of sacrifices your parents have made that you don't know anything about. And you can look at them and say, hey, we go to church and I see how you guys are there, but I know how you are at home. And what you got going on there is ain't what I see at home. Well, hey, listen to this. They have sacrificed for you. They love you. They're making commitments for you that you don't ever know anything about. There's men in here trying to do it on their own. There's women in here trying to do it on their own. And we got to remember, listen, the way that our love increasingly is going to increase and grow is by remembering successes instead of sin. We got to give each other a little bit of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Both ways, both ways, both ways, all the ways. And that's what he's praying for. I want your love to grow. And that's what I'm praying for as our church. That everybody sitting here, that we learn to connect more and more as we grow. That's my heart, is that we grow in love and that we connect the way God wants us to connect. That we cry with each other, we pray with each other, we connect to each other. And I believe in, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with the big church, but you can get lost. And I pray that that never happens here. I pray to God that we always have this, we're family. You know what I mean? We are, we're family. We talk throughout the week. We pray with each other. We cry with each other. We serve with each other. And that's what God wants. And so Paul says to him, he says, hey, I want you guys, that your love, I want it to abound. And now he explains to them his present circumstances. Instead of griping about them, he says things are actually all good. Which surprised me because he's the one locked up and they're the one that's free. So he says in verse 12 and 14, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Not get me out, call my attorney, post my bail. He's like, I'm good, I'm good. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, you guys got to love Paul, and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says the things that have happened to me have furthered the gospel. Man, that's incredible. That blows my mind, what Paul is, the way that he looks at his situation. These chains that you guys see on me, this imprisonment, all of the circumstances, God is using everything you see in me. Everything. Everything you see on me, the chains. Kind of like how God used a sling in David's hand, how he used a stick in Moses' hand, stupid little stuff. How he used a clay pot in Gideon's hand. I love Gideon too. We got to go back and get some of that. We got so much to learn, you guys. He's using the chains on Paul's hands. And he's using them in such a way, he's like, hey, you guys know what? Every time someone's locked up to me, which was 24 hours a day, they would rotate about four times a night. Guess what? Those people got preached to. Paul was like, hey, cool, it's Ralph, you know, the guy working graveyard. Hey, man, how's your family? Did you guys accept the Lord? And then he would just go on and on. And these people are like, oh my, they start praying to God just to get rid of Paul. And they're like, chained up. He's telling me about Jesus nonstop. But he's like, hey, this is an opportunity. My circumstances, my chains, my issues, these obstacles are my opportunities. And I want to leave that with you guys today as we're going to close this out in a second. Hold on a second, worship team. I want you guys to remember this as we close this out. We got a lot to cover. I'm just going to take it in chunks so we can learn what's going on here. But your obstacles are God's opportunities. Did you know that? You having obstacles isn't evidence that you're not in God's will. It's evident that you're under His power. Obstacles are the opportunity. And so whatever it is that we're going through, we need to remember something. That is our opportunity to be Christ to those around us. Not, oh man, I can't believe I'm going through this again. I can't believe this is happening. And we just dump on people. We're Christians. That mentality for us, just so you know what the Bible teaches, you don't have to agree with me. Let's just say what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches saved people don't act like that. Saved people are the type of people, these are the people that when they're going through something and their kid is a mess, locked up, crazy, you know, there's fights at home, whatever, and they show up and you're like, how you doing? And you're like, you know what, I'm doing actually pretty good. Why? Because I'm okay when things aren't okay. How you doing? I'm still looking for a job. I'm unemployed. I'm still broke. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. See, that's the opportunities, all these obstacles, all the things that you guys have gone through as a married couple, all the things that you guys have gone through with your parents, and all this stuff in your lives that God has had there, and He hasn't taken them away. They're opportunities to show the power and all God has done for you. How many has had God do something in your life? Come on, I mean, I know you guys. Every one of us can say, hey, we've had some obstacles. But guess what? Those are opportunities for Christ to reflect and to show to the people around us. So listen, if you've been on dope, some of us know how hard that is. God bless you for never being addicted. But for the others of us, we know what that's like. And we also know what deliverance is like. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? We can take that same comfort Paul was telling to the church in Corinthians that God has given us, and we can give it to those around us. Amen? Amen. Let's give God praise one time. Come on up, worship team. Hey, listen, we're going to close out with a couple of songs. That's it. Just two songs. We want to give God worship this morning, but I want to ask you guys something. As you leave here, would you guys stand with me? We're going to stand and worship. As we leave here today, I want to ask you guys something. What is an obstacle that you guys are facing right now in your life that you can use, as an opportunity to encourage your wife? Your wife wants to see you strong in the Lord. She doesn't want to see you faithless, but faithful. What are some obstacles going on with your relationship with your husband, maybe? Your friends, your kids. What is it that we can say, hey, listen, these chains, you guys got it all wrong. You think I'm bound up, but I'm actually the one free. And I'm trying to tell you guys that there's peace beyond circumstances. And it only comes from Jesus. And so this morning I want to close out with this. Maybe you don't have that peace. Maybe you are going through an obstacle. And you don't have that assurance and that peace and that comfort from the Lord. You need Jesus. And you know what? There was a huge obstacle before Christ called the cross. Huge. A hindrance. But he saw that, and what he knew, see, Satan saw the cross and he was like, that's it. That's it. The cross. And it shows us that the devil, and I do believe in a devil, I do believe in demonic spirits, I do believe that. But I'll say this, he's not omniscient. He knows not everything. And so somehow the devil's ignorance saw the cross and thought, that's it. But 3 days later, 3 days later, the resurrection changed everything. And he conquered the obstacle and he turned it into an opportunity. For some of you, maybe you need to give your life to Jesus today. That obstacle became your opportunity to come to the cross and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my life. Maybe you're coming back from a backsliding past. I don't know. But we can always come back to Jesus because of what he did on the cross. And so I want us to bow our heads today and let this be your opportunity right now just to confess your sins to the Lord and say, hey, God, I love you. I accept your sacrifice. I thank you for taking my place on the cross and resolving me of all my sins, justifying me that I may be glorified with you. the Bible tells us, whoever comes to Him, in no way will He ever turn out. This is your opportunity to say, God, I'm coming, I'm running to You, Jesus. Forgive me, change my life, Lord. And may I see all my obstacles as an opportunity from this on out to glorify Jesus Christ in my life. In Jesus' name.